B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 12:30 across the Delaware Valley. Cuz Radio with the Tunes hanging out. It's been a great day talking all kinds of ball, all kinds of Sixers. And joining us, I'm thrilled. I love the guy. I mean, he's one of the greats that there is. You're the coach of your first round pick for the Sixers and a legend from the University of Kentucky. And you remember when he was here, too. The great John Calipari on the Comcast Business Hotline. Hello, John. How are you, buddy? What's happening, Cal?
Legend. They tell me I'm a legend in my own mind. That's what they tell me.
Come on, Cal. Come on, man.
You know what I love? I hear your voice and they're like, this dude grew up in Philadelphia. Oh, my gosh.
Well, when you were here, hey. I used to always bug you when you were here. So, you know, I loved it.
Philly is one of the great sports towns. If you're winning, you gotta win. It ain't a fun town if you're losing. Woo!
I know, man. I know. It matters. You know the thing that's really exciting and why, you know, having grown up in the shadows of the Spectrum and the First Union Center whole thing, sports always mattered. And I think that's what makes it great because we love, there's a true passion for the understanding of the game. It's why, you know, coaches like you, we're enamored by because, you know, you love the game. You have this passion for the sport that we share.
Yeah, it's, you know, and then if you're not doing well, they'll throw snowballs at Santa and they'll do some crazy things. You could be, you know, but I say that, but the rivalry game, how about the Palestra? Is there any better place to play? Those rims were sewers. If you hit the ball on the rim, it went in. And I told him, don't even shoot it straight. Just make sure you don't get a block because it's a 70-30 that it's going to go in. The chalkboard in the video, you know, Wilt played in this building.
That's right.
But, no, the memories there and spending time on with the 76ers was a great time, you know. Being with Larry Brown, who I know everybody in that town respects and loves, and being close with Allen Iverson and, you know, seeing him go in the Hall of Fame. I mean, there are times, how about our rivalries with Temple?
I was there. I covered the game because I went to Temple and, you know, and John and I were really close and I used to go to those practices at 5:30 and I remember that.
Hey, how about 5 o'clock practices? What did we, swimmers? Swimmers do that. Basketball players don't go at five. I mean, that's crazy. But you know what's fun with this? It shows there's all kind of ways of doing this that we do. But if you really care about the kids, you're going to help them get better. And that's how he was. We played totally different styles. And both teams had success. And you think about Aaron McKee and Eddie and the guys and Rick Brunt. They love Coach Chaney.
Yep.
No, it's not like they love him. And it just shows, you know, his thing. I use his line now, by the way. Look, if you turn it over, they're getting a basket. If you miss a shot, three things can happen. It can go in. That's really good. We can rebound your miss and make a basket. That's really good. Or you miss and they get it and we get back on defense. Two of three are good. Don't turn it over, shoot it. So you remember how I used to do it. And I'm trying to explain that to some of these kids I'm coaching now. I'd rather you shoot it than turn it over.
That's right. That was always his mantra, man. Man, he used to hammer it all the time. How about those battles? And you had Lou Rowe, the kid from Lake City.
Hey, I can remember the first time they had metal detectors ever in college basketball is when we went to Temple. And metal detectors. I said, where the hell are we?
Yeah, the Gallagher Hall.
And Bruce said, you're in North Philly. That's where the hell you are. I said, where are we?
That was the best, man. That was incredible. And, you know, you're up here all the time. And, in fact, my man Carl Arringdale from New Margaretti says hello. Because,
yeah, good man. Good coach, too. Yeah. Good man and a good coach.
You know, basketball is such a part of this region, and you know, it's what we love and understand it. And it's funny, I was watching last night, and, you know, one of the great things about your players, and we're talking to the great John Calipari on the Comcast Business Hotline, is that they become really, really good pros. And, Reese asked you the question last night, like, what's that secret? And I thought it was a great answer that you gave, which is, it's about these kids, and it's about, hey, it's up to you guys to really sink or swim. So you got to fight it out. And those are kinds of the kids that you get at Kentucky.
And the others don't come, and it's good for them, good for us. Look, if you come to Kentucky, you're betting on yourself. You're saying, I don't care who's there. I don't care who they're recruiting. I don't care who's in the program. I'm betting on me. And I know this is the biggest stage, and it doesn't scare me. Like, every game is someone's Super Bowl that we play. Every game is sold out. And so you have to be built for this. If you want to be guaranteed you're going to start and play this, and we're going to run everything through you, only two guys are going to shoot all the balls. And, well, no. So how does an analytics guy, and I love the analytics, I use analytics,
sure,
but how do they judge a guy that picked a school like that versus taking 25 shots a game? How does that come into the equation when you try to analytically look at a guy who shot 24 times a game versus one of my guys who shot 14? How do you analyze or analytically break down a player who played poorly in three games, but his team won because he recognized he wasn't playing well, so he worried about defense, rebounding, blocking shots, instead of scoring because he's 1-for-6. And Anthony Davis did it in the national championship game. He went 1-for-10 and got the outstanding player because he rebounded, defended, blocked shots, ran, passed. I mean, how do you analytically break that down? I'm talking about Tyrese right now.
I know you are.
How do you analytically break down, well, we haven't seen him in 100 pick and rolls because he's only been in 20. Well, Jamal Murray played exactly how Tyrese played. I mean, they were trained the same way. You have a guy like Devin Booker who played with two really good point guards, but one that was really a true point guard in Tyler Ulis, which meant he wasn't in as many pick and rolls. How's he doing now in pick and rolls? I mean, Tyler Hero played with Ashton Hagens and he played with Emmanuel Quickly, and he didn't get as much playmaking as he did scoring. But look at him now. I mean, so how do you analytically break it down? But here's the other thing. How do you pass on Kentucky kids? How does Tyrese even get to Philadelphia?
I got to tell you, I was stunned. I don't either. It was such a blessing, for the Sixers, from a Sixers standpoint, and as someone that cares about the Sixers, and as he was falling, and I'm going, what? How can that be? Oh man, could you imagine if he's around at 21? And you know, it's interesting.
So I'm on my phone,
sure,
texting, and I text Doc like, you will love him, right? And after he picks him, he says, you better be right, but. You look at all this, and there has been many times where players dropped. And I'm not trying to compare them to what's happened in Golden State and all that. But they got two guys that were drafted in the 20s that ended up being their best players and helped them win world championships.
That's right.
You got a coach in Doc Rivers who, one, is a great guy. He is authentic as they come. He's not going to BS you. It's not how he is. That's him authentically. One, can really coach. Two, has the respect of players, which means he will hold people accountable. He's okay with that. he's got my man with him, Sam Cassell, who, by the way, trained John Wall, mentored him, then mentored Shea Alexander, and now has a chance to mentor another one of my guys. And I'm telling you, those guys have done pretty good with my guys. And the same with Tyrese. Smile on his face, authentic as they come. You, every time you see him, he'll look the same way. Because it's who he is. Smile and bouncy and bubbly and spirit. You, every practice you walk in, you, that's who you want to see. You look and say, I'd go home and tell my wife, I love this kid. It makes me smile every practice. I enjoy coming to practice.
That, it's so important. And I, it's funny because I liked his father a lot, right? Like, his father is a good man.
Father's a coach.
You know?
Coach.
Yeah. I mean, like, that he means so much. You know better than anybody. Like, having a kid like that from, you know, raised that way, you know, I mean, that's like half your job because you've been raising kids a long time, all right? Not just on the floor, but off it. And you get a kid like that and you go, it's great. There's some things I don't have to worry about.
Well, let me say this to you. His dad also, early on as a coach, taught and ran dribble drive, the spacing, the driving, the attacking. So now his son attacks the lane. And all the basketball bennies out there that are listening to this, the game has changed right before our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone from movement and passing and extra passing to lane touches.
Yeah.
If you can't touch that lane, your team stinks. If you touch the lane and you can't make plays from there, which means I kick it out, I shoot a runner, I can get to the rim, it's hard to make way in that league right now. Shooting has become a premium. If you can't shoot, it's hard to play in this league now. It's just what it is. And so you got a kid that's been taught to dribble drive. They're not going to have to teach him any of that. I watch the teams in the bubble. They're all running dribble drive. They're doing it out of dribble handoffs, out of high pick and rolls, on a short roll to the bigs, and he plays. You know, I'm walking my dog picking up poop, by the way. But that's what the game has become. And that's why when I look at some of the picks, I'm not questioning. You know, I have respect for people.
Sure.
But the analytics of this, the game is changing. If a guy can't shoot, where do you play him? They won't play him. You know, I'll tell you this, he'll be open all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You want a guy to be open, go draft somebody that can't shoot.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think with Tyrese, what the city's going to understand, they got a competitive guy that physically can play now. You know, there's guys drafted that weigh 160 pounds. Guess what? You can't play in that league right now. Dudes will kill you. He's got a body that he's going to be able to go right now. And he's going to get better. He loves it. He's a gym rat. If you're not a gym rat, hard to make it in the NBA these days. You know, there's too much at stake for the teams, for players and their families. You're fighting for your life. If your whole career, everything has been given to you and every advantage you've had, you're going to be shocked when you get there, because it ain't that way.
Nah.
Everybody is in a battle. There's one bone thrown in a pack of dogs.
Yeah.
There's one eating.
That's right.
Is that you or is that somebody else? And that's
right.
The kind of stuff that I look at with Tyrese and just tell you, I think they're going to love him. And as much the fans and the kids that go to the games, they're going to see his smile and they're going to fall in love with the kid.
You know what's cool, too? I think he fits them really well because you need someone unique next to Simmons. So you got a kid that... It's funny, it's why they drafted Fultz a long time ago, Markelle Fultz, because they wanted a guy that's more of a combo guy next to a Ben Simmons that could shoot, but also could run the offense a little bit if you want to post Simmons up and take advantage of matchups. So I think he's actually the perfect complement next to Ben to play. I think that he fits well on that team.
He does. But, you know, again... I think what you're doing in that draft is my humble opinion. By the way, if people haven't forgotten, I got fired by the Nets. So I'm talking about NBA, the guy, the fired NBA coach. Just put that out there for everybody to know.
Stop.
But I would tell you that you take the best player and then figure it out. And yeah. I imagine that's what Doc and the crew did.
Yeah.
He's the best player available. Can't believe we got him. We'll figure it out. And that's what Doc does. Doc's going to figure out, again, Ben, I coached against Ben. This kid is so talented, and he's unique. There are things that he does that normal players cannot do. And there's some weakness in his game, and there's some things they're going to do to play against him. You know, you got big boys, same thing. I mean, uniqueness. And it's Doc figuring out, getting in there and say, okay, how do we play with this crew? How do we put them together? You know, brought in some shooters that, you know, to open up the court some. I mean, you know, I like the direction, but I've always liked the Sixers. You know, I'm a Sixers fan. And
it's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
And
I love when you came here. It was cool too, because you know it was interesting. I don't know how you feel about college versus coaching in the NBA. And I always loved your passion. And you almost need players to appreciate that, which is why it always felt like the younger the guy, the more impressionable, the more success you would have to really reach those kids. I mean, I see those kids coming out of your program, and I just see kids that are taught well, and they really understand the game, and they are able to understand themselves, and they kind of grow into it. But I was always curious about how you viewed coaching in the NBA to coaching in college.
All right, I'll give you a quick story, but let me say this. It's true that the basketball guys in the league that just love playing and weren't in it for the other stuff, I love coaching. I love them. We had a Zoom call with Keith Van Horn, Kerry Kittle, Sam Cassell, Sherm Douglas. We just did a Zoom together.
Wow.
And it was like a podcast. It was Coffee with Cal, if anybody wants to go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
It was more fun.
How do we get it?
And Coach, it was Coffee with Cal. It's a podcast. I stopped doing them when all the stuff hit, but I was doing it when I wasn't coaching basketball.
Yeah.
This is just 2 months ago, 3 months ago. But anyway, here's the difference. In college, you're there to help them develop professional habits, to get them to understand maybe what got you to Kentucky isn't going to get you there. Here's what they want to see, not what you want to show. It's about holding them accountable so later on when the coach isn't going to do what I do, which is get on them and sit them out, put them back in, they're just going to send them to the G League. You're not doing that. You're trying to coach. If a kid is a jerk, you sit them out of practice. If he continues to be a jerk, you sit them out of games, you leave them home. And if he continues to be a jerk, you got to throw them off the team. Don't say hello when it's time to say goodbye. It's the wrong time. Mm. But now you draft that jerk, and you're in the NBA. And you didn't realize he was a jerk. You start coaching him, and you see he's a jerk. You're like, oh, man. So you play him a lot of minutes. You get him a lot of shots. You promote him in the media so you can trade him. So this is a different deal.
Wow.
You don't even get upset with it. You just say, hey, we got to get this guy out.
And
yeah. If I'm mean to him or I'm downing him or I'm fighting his back out, we're not going to get value for him. So let him play, let him shoot, be nice, be big, and all right, what can we get for him?
Yeah,
it's a business.
Yeah,
you had Ricky Rubio say,
yeah,
wow, this business. He got traded. He's like, I was having a good year, and they traded me anyway. It is that kind of business. Here, I'm dealing with people's children.
Yeah.
And my job right now is not to make them feel good, is to make them understand how hard this is going to be. That nothing here at Kentucky is given, it's earned. If you want to play, you better earn it, and you better be better than the guy in front of you, or he's playing and you're not. Well, I was an All-American. I don't really care. You know what my name is? Yeah, I do, and I love you, but you come on, you come to my house and stay over now. Make your breakfast. I'm just not going to play you. I mean, this stuff is, this is real. This is how it's going to be the rest of your life. This is the life you chose. So I'm going to help you. Now, you understand where families who want to think it's guaranteed will not want their son here.
Right.
He's not going to promise you. He's not. Look, I'll give you an example. Shea Alexander did not start the first 9 games of the year. He did not start. And I said to him after about 6 games, I said, look, you probably should be starting, but I kind of like this rotation the way it is. He said, coach, I trust you. Do what you need to do. He goes on. He's going to be an all-star.
Wow.
I start him after 10 games. He takes the game. All right, how about Emmanuel Quickley? He didn't start the first 7 games last year. I was trying to play a bigger team, and I like the 3-guard rotation with him and Tyrese and Ashton. And then after about 8, he never said a word. He trusted. And he said to me after someone, his whole goal he had on his mirror, I want to start. And that's what was on his mirror. And that's what drove him. And that's what worked. 9th game, 10th game, I start him. He's player of the year in our league. And he's the 25th pick. You know what? Sometimes it's fight or flight. And they run. I'm fine with that. And I help them play right away. I'm not going to get in anybody's way. This is hard here.
Yeah.
You know what's hard right now? What these kids mentally have to go through.
Sure.
Where they can't leave the room.
Yeah.
They're 18 and 19 year old.
Yeah, they need to be free. Yeah.
Right? You know, you want to go on a date. No, you can't. You want to leave the room. You got to stay. I would like to go to dinner or lunch. You can't. We're bringing it to you. And we're practicing, and you're living together in a building, you know, your own bedroom, your own bathroom. But, you know, I worry about the kids' mental health.
Sure.
We got a sports psychologist and a psychiatrist. This stuff added on to being at Kentucky in a dogfight every practice you walk in, it could overwhelm you.
Definitely.
We had a freshman walk on that came in and said, I can't take it. I'm in my room 12 hours a day. I'm not as good as these guys, and they're coming right. Coach, I can't tell you. I'm going home. It was a freshman, and he was a walk-on. But it got me to open up my eyes to all these other kids, what they're going through. I tell you, I respect every college player with what they're trying to do. We got to have a college season. And it ain't because of this, that, or the other. You know what it's for? These players.
Yeah.
They deserve
they need it.
Tournament.
They do.
Yeah.
They need it.
And if we can do it safely, let's do it safely. Let's start these games. Let's do it safely. I'll be the first. I'm coaching people's children. If I don't think it's safe, there we go somewhere and I'm seeing the whole fan base without masks on, I'm probably saying if there's no vaccine and that's the case, we're not playing this game. It's a forfeit. Take the W. I'm not going to do that to these kids, but they deserve to get out and play games and do their thing. How about this last crew? Draft. It was 6 months between when the season ended or 7 months before they got drafted.
It was amazing is that, you know, there was a lot of emotion last night and a lot of kids. And it was interesting because it was more emotional, I thought, than ever before. And I got to believe the pandemic.
It was.
It had to be. You know, the kids are at home, and it's like such a relief, and they get drafted, and they're so emotional. And I'm going, this is the pandemic. This is what we're seeing.
Can you imagine what's been in their minds for 7 months? Maybe I'm not. Maybe I won't. Will I? Won't I? You're at home. You're not running around. You're in the gym and at home. Those kids that got drafted, and started crying. Nick Richards cried so hard,
yeah.
I had him on a FaceTime. I had to take him off the phone. He said, Coach, I got to call you back.
Yeah.
Every one of the kids, it was a relief
yeah.
from 7-8 months. Well, think about these college players. Someone will say, oh, you're doing it to just make money and do all this. No, stop. Yesterday, I said to my kids, do you guys want to play or do you want to? They started throwing balls at me. Are you nuts? Yes, we want to play. We want to play now. I mean, you know, but they want to be safe, but they want to play. And we got to have an NCAA tournament. And I like what they're doing. Probably going to bubble it up.
Yeah, I do too.
Where you go in and if you lose, you're out and everybody else stay and you have your own bus and your own hotel suite and, or floor. And, you know, you get, you know, we got to get it in for these kids. You got to get, walk away with the national champion. I thought my team last year had a chance to win it all. I really did. And I've done this a long time, so you have a feel for what your team is and where they are mentally. And I'm looking at this saying, wow. And let me say this. If we had played in the NCAA tournament, we would have had three guys in the first round.
Yes.
Tyrese would have been 10, 11, 12, maybe 13, but he'd have been down in there somewhere. And we'd have had another one or two in the second round.
I thought about that, too. I thought about Tyrese. I'm like, there's no way. If you have a tournament, there's no way in the world he lasts the 21. Forget about it.
No. Yeah. He's long gone. So, good for Philly. I'm happy for Doc. I'm happy for Sam. Happy for the city. Making some changes. You know, there's going to be excitement and, you know, the path back to, you know, getting into finals and trying to win it all.
I got to tell you, Cal, I first of all, thank you for being able to talk about the kids and you know, appreciate that because the messaging is so important. And people, fans and everybody, it matters so much here and they need to hear you. They need to hear messaging like this, too. About these kids?
Well, the NBA, what they've done for families and a majority minority families that have a chance for the American dream and kids come out of there and it's generational stuff that happens. You know, it's been, and it's the most transparent. I mean, let me say this. Another player knows if you can't play. You're not going to be a fraud in that league. You're not going to fool your way into that league. You fight your way in. They all know. And it doesn't matter if you're black, white, yellow. If you can play, they respect you. If you can coach, it doesn't matter if you're black, you're white, you're a woman. It officials, if you can officiate, all the players know. If you can't, they know, and so do the coaches. And it doesn't matter if you're black, white, a woman. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Brown, I mean, all of the stuff in that league is what's good about our country. And so what the NBA did with the bubble, unbelievable. I'm going to just leave you with this. Did you not think it was the best NBA basketball you saw?
It was phenomenal.
I mean, I've never seen basketball that well played.
It was
phenomenal. You know what they told me? They said they didn't have to travel.
Yeah.
So you really got to see how good they were. Playing every other day where they had rest and where they were in a rhythm, it was incredible.
How about Murray?
Saying,
how about you? How about Murray?
How about Murray? How about all of them? I mean, you had guys, Tyler Hero and Bam, what they did, what Anthony Davis did. And, you know, De'Aaron Fox played well. How about P.J. Washington? He ends up being the best guy they were on their team. And the other guy was Keldon Johnson.
Yeah.
Down in San Antonio played well in the bubble. I mean,
how about this? How about Booker?
I mentioned Devin.
Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, he's scoring 40 a game with a chip on his shoulder, which he's always had. That you don't know how good I am. That's how he's always been. A streak in him, and he goes and leads him to 8-0 and how he played, and everybody's saying, there's the next star. Well, he was an all-star last year, and, you know, you didn't even have Carl Towns in there. I mean, it was great to see, but all of those players, because they didn't have to travel, you really got to say, like, wow, high motor offense, unbelievably good scrambling defense, flying up and down the court. I mean, you know, I can tell you is it opened up my eyes to how good NBA players really are when I saw it. So hats off to the NBA. I appreciate you having me on
Cal,
the show.
God bless you, brother.
Philly, I wish I was down there getting a cheesesteak, having one of my pretzels, going over and having a slice down in Southie, and then going and getting my Dunkin' Donuts at one of those places, going to Mass at St. John's downtown. Come on. I mean, what's better than that?
Well, we're going to hold you to it. All right? Well, all right. You'll be here soon enough. Listen, God bless you and your family, and be safe. All right, brother?
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Cal. There is John Calipari on the Comcast Business Hotline. Judas, that was fun.
Yeah, it was great. Love Coach Cal. He's pumped up for Tyrese.
Yes.
Love it.
Interesting. What do you want me to do? Because I went over.
You got a break.
I'm sorry. You knew I was, right? I'm talking ball with Calipari. You're going to expect me to hit my break on time. Sorry. Cause Radio Judas, 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's talk about the Bagster. I'll throw myself in the Bagster because I get excited. I know Tyrone, right. He understands that. Because he likes talking ball. He appreciates that. The Bagster, I just caught that. All right. Hey, jump in, you bastard. You're late for the break.
I need to grow a bomber.
Let me tell you about the Bagster bag, a 3-cubic-yard dumpster in a bag sold at Lowe's, local home improvement stores everywhere, Home Depot, you name it. It holds 3,300 pounds of waste. The Bagster. And it's got all the strength and the girth of those metal Bagsters. But, man, oh, man, costs $29.99, and it's not unsightly. It's easy. Whatever your cleanup plans are, you're just getting organized. You got a bunch of junk. Get rid of it with the Bagster. It's easy. It's on demand. You buy it, you fill it, you schedule your collection, and poof, it's gone. No time limits. Completely on demand. Go to thebagster.com to find a store nearest you. For more details, this is Anthony Gargano telling you to clean up the Bagster dumpster in the back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.